greetings from Midian. I'm not sure where to start from, as I have been away from you all for a long time. It is unfortunate that I have been born on that day when Pharaoh was bringing the order for every Hebrew boy that is born should be thrown into the river of Nile, and let every girl live. To an extent, I was happy for you and our sister Miriam that you both have been escaped from Pharaoh's command. Although I was born and raised up in Pharaoh's court by Princess Pharaoh's daughter, fed with fine food and given the best education in the Egyptian university, I still missed being among my people. The patriotic passion within me erupted when I saw our fellow Hebrew brothers were at their hard labor. I was really disturbed. Once, when I saw an Egyptian was killing or beating with a Hebrew brother, I was upset. My heart went off. And then I, in anger, killed him and hid him in the sand. This news reached Pharaoh's ears, and he tried to kill me. So then I fled to Midian. I have sinned for what I have killed that Egyptian, and as a consequence, I have suffered for all these 40 years of my separation from my family and my people. But all these 40 years in Midian went very quickly. And whatever the stirrings that I felt once is probably now buried in this distant past. I married Zipporah, the daughter of Jethro, who is a Midian priest. And now I am looking after my father-in-law's flock. Can you imagine how would it be for me to live under a father-in-law's custody for more than 40 years? Can you imagine that? One can survive anywhere in the world if he has been trained under a father-in-law for such a long time. There was not a best moments, and there were some sad moments as well. The best part in my life while I was in Midian was when we had our first son, Gershom. The meaning of his name is a stranger, a foreigner in the foreign land. Otherwise, nothing exciting happening in that time. So as like my daily routine, I was tending my father-in-law's flock. And while I was doing it, since I was occupied with so many things in my mind about my life here in Midian, and how far it is going to go still. Because of all these confusions, I then led the flock into the wilderness, very far away from where I was. I was here in the land of Midian, and then I was moving here, and I led the flock, and I reached here to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. I usually feel good to have a long walk, but on that day, unusually, I felt very tired, and then realized I have had a long walk. There, I saw something catchy to my eyes. In the middle of the wilderness, there was a shaggy thorn bushes were burning. To see a thorn bushes burning in the middle of the wilderness is not a novel thing. Because sometimes, due to the ashes from the nomad's fire, or from the flash from the lightning, can kindle the dry grass, and it will ignite the bushes. So it is not a novel thing. But there were two significant things really pulled my attention. One was, I was seeing an angel appearing in the middle of the flaming fire. And another one is, the bush is burning, but it is not consumed. How could this be possible? I haven't seen like that in my life before. So out of curiosity, I tried to go closer to see how such strange things can happen ever in that wilderness. The bush is burning, but it is not burnt. So when I went closer, I heard a voice calling, "Moses, Moses." I turned back. I was stunned. Who in this wilderness could know my name? I was surprised, and I saw no one around there. But I responded, "Here I am." Then I realized that voice belonged to God. And he said, "Don't come closer, Moses. Stand there where you are and remove your sandals off, because you are standing in the holy ground." What? The holy God appearing before me. I was afraid to look at God. I covered my face. I could not bear the sight of the God's glory before me. And I was completely broken inside, because I am an ordinary shepherd. And how come this extraordinary God appearing before this ordinary man at this unexpected situation? When I think about how he called me first, "Moses, Moses," I realized I am a murderer. I am a sinner. I'm not worthy to be called by God himself with such a personal way, calling my name personally. Has he forgave my sins? Has all my sins been forgiven? Has he forgotten what I have done? I was really enjoying that moment. And then, it was for a surprise, he was asking me to be a leader, to do his ministry at the age of 80. He said, he heard his people's cry, and he wants to uplift the oppression, and he decided to send me to them and to say to Pharaoh and deliver the people from Egypt, those who are under slavery. I have a doubt. Am I deserved to do such a leading part in my life? Do I have potential and skill to be a leader? Will ever people listen to me after seeing me as a stranger standing before them, telling them that I have been sent by God to be their leader? How would I convince them that I have been sent from God Himself? So I asked God, Lord, even I went and explained them that the God of their fathers have sent me to you, they would ask, what is your name? What shall I tell them? I poured out all my anxieties, all my concerns in this form of questions. And do you know, Aaron, what he replied? He said, go and tell them, I am who I am has sent me. Ponder about these words until I meet you again. Hope I will meet you soon. Every blessings, Moses. Now, let us ponder about these verses. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you ought to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. The name you shall call me from generation to generation. When Moses asked God, what is his name that he should tell to the people of Israelites, the God clearly told him his name, I am. Until then, how God has been called by the people? People called God in various names based on his aspects. El Elyon, it was one of the names called in the previous chapters, previously by people, God Most High. This was when Melchizedek, the king of Salem and the priest of God Most High, was blessing Abraham, and he was saying, blessed be Abraham by God the Most High, the creator of heaven and the earth. And praise be to God, the Most High, for your enemies have been delivered to you in your hands. El Roy, God who sees me. Hagar, he named God El Roy in the wilderness when Lord spoke to her. And she said, God who sees me. For he said, I have seen the one who sees me. El Shaddai, God Almighty. This was when God made a covenant with Abraham, and he was saying that I will surely increase your number of descendants. El Olam, this was when a treaty was made between Abimelech the king and Abraham, and Abraham was praying to God by planting a tamarisk tree in Beersheba, and he was calling to the Lord, El Olam, the everlasting God. So we can see that people called God by various names based on their own personal experience and encounter with God. And even now today, we call God in different ways based on our own situations. When we are in desperate in our life, sometimes due to finance, due to our job situation, whatever the difficulty we may go through, We will be crying out to the Lord, Lord, please help me. And the God is able and he fulfills our needs. And how would we call them? Lord, you are my provider. When we go through difficulties within family, relationship or loneliness, we call to God. God, Lord, you are a peacemaker. Please give me peace during this loneliness, during this time of trouble. And when we granted those things, how would we call him? Lord of my peace. We may be going through health issues. Some might share with others, some might not. Either they don't want to disturb others or they don't want to make a fuss about it. But the Lord of heaven and earth, he can see the innermost need of our health needs as well. And he answers that. And he provides us healing. How would we call him? Lord, you are my healer. So we call God in different ways based on our own personal experience, based on our own situation that we go through. But this is the very first time God himself utters his name, I am. Verse 14, God says, I am who I am. God says in verse 14 continuously, I am has sent me to you. In verse 15, God says, the Lord. And then God of the Father, God of the Abraham, Isaac, Jacob has sent me to you. I am. This is one of the most important and very considerate name of the Lord that has been in the Old Testament, which our English versions have failed to record it. Whenever we see the word Lord with all caps, we need to know that there is a name behind it. In Hebrew, the word, the name of the Lord is called in four letters, YHWH. And so it can be pronounced as Yahweh. The Jews regard this word as a reverence. And they don't want to take it to their own lips. In case, unconsciously, they can put the name in vain. So whenever they come to the name Yahweh, they don't read it with that word. Instead, they will use the word Adonai, which means my Lord. So the English version have basically followed the same pattern. So whenever they see the word Yahweh, they followed and they have replaced that with Lord in caps. The Lord is a word, Yahweh, appears many times in the Old Testament. That shows the frequency of appearing in the Testament, shows the significance of that name. 6,828 times it has appeared in the Old Testament. And it is three times more than that they use for a simple word for God. This fact or this statistics, whatever it says, it is confirming us that God aims to be known not as a generic person, but want to be a specific person holding the name, carrying the unique character and mission. But when we see the word Yahweh and I am, both the names have been originated or built up from the same source with the Hebrew word Haya. So this is one of the facts we can say that I am has been interpreted for the name Yahweh. And the second fact is, when you read the verse 14, it says, I am has sent me to you. And verse 15, the Lord has sent me to you. So you can see has sent me to you is repeated. So we can see the interchange of the word I am for the word Lord. So Yahweh is a proper interpretation for the word I am. We can understand that not only from I am that I am, but he is confirming that I am what I am. I am because I am, and I will be what I will be. Just I want to show you few implications for the word I am. The first one is from Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. I, Lord. So we see the capital letters Lord. So we need to replace that with the proper Hebrew name Yahweh. Do not change. Therefore, O sons of Jacob are not consumed. So the God cannot be changed or altered or infused by any other means, by any other external forces about himself, because he is not a subject to be changed as like we are. People, we do change because of our unforeseen circumstances or weak resolutions. But God foresee every circumstance, and all circumstances are already built in him, and there is no weaknesses in him. So he is an unchanging God. Isaiah, he says, the Lord, again Yahweh, is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. The God is everlasting, and he is an absolute reality. So he can be, he will be the creator of the ends of the earth and also for the universe. In that case, he is a creator of everything, and all sources are built in him, and he is an inexhaustible source of energy, inexhaustible reservoir of power. He is powerful, he is strong, he is everlasting. There is no end for him. And he does not faint or grow weary. There is no unending, because he is a river of life. And he is the source of strength for us every morning, and also till we see him in glory, and even after that. This unchanging and this everlasting, there are just two implications. But if you go through the whole scripture in the Old Testament, as we saw 6,828 times, you can see this Lord in caps. And if you replace the proper name, what God has given, I am, which is a representation or interpretation of the name Yahweh, we can see that how many times God has encountered us with that name. I, the Lord, never change. I, the Lord, is everlasting. And the great who I am, and the greatness of I am, the Yahweh, everything has been now drawn closer to us in the form of Jesus Christ. Jesus, when he was talking with the people, with the Pharisees and Sadducees, Jesus is answering the criticism of the Jewish leaders. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad. The Jews then said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Do you think Jesus would have taken those exalting words upon his own lips? When Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am, he has taken the true meaning of the majestic name I am, and he wrapped itself with his humble, humilified servanthood. And then he offered it as an atonement for our own sins, and he made the way for us to see God's glory without fear. What a tremendous work Jesus has done for us. In the Old Testament, you can see that people are all standing at the one end and appreciating God, saying that Yahweh, even they cannot pronounce their name with the Lord, and they say that the Lord has done good things, the Lord is big, the Lord is everlasting. You can see some distance between people and God. But after Jesus has encountered with us, after Jesus came into this world, he bought us for a price. He shed his blood, and in that blood, he redeemed us, and not only brought us closer, and he showed us the way how to see God's glory without fear. We can now go boldly stand before the throne, because the veil was torn. God, Jesus has made the way. And you know, the simple word what Jesus has taught us to God, to call God the Father, Abba Father. Can you see the name changing? The relationship is getting closer. It is all because of Jesus. We give God glory. Amen.